Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is sponsored by Pipedrive, the CRM for small teams with big ambitions. Whether you are an entrepreneur or not, sales can be tough, but it doesn't have to be. Entrepreneurs like Pipedrive because it visualizes your sales pipeline, highlights opportunities and potential problems, ultimately ensuring important activities and conversations don't get dropped. Head over to pipedrive.com/hack to start your 30-day free trial today. That's pipedrive.com/hack.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
And welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. I'm so very glad you decided to join me again today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a Starbucks addict, Sarah McLachlan fan, web designer, and a brilliant entrepreneur. My guest is a partner at Rainmaker Digital, formerly known as Copyblogger Media. He is also the founder of the Genesis Framework and Studio Press. In fact, he invented the business of premium WordPress themes, that business that so many of us take for granted. He started it all. As you will hear in this episode, my guest started Studio Press as a side business. He did not go full-time with it until long after he was earning more every single month from his side business than he was earning yearly as an architect. He's one of the nicest and humblest people I've ever had the pleasure to meet, and I'm so happy to welcome him onto the show today. Now, let's hack Brian Gardner. Everyone needs health coverage, but when you're self-employed, finding the best plan for you can be a long and difficult process. Stride Health wants to ensure that you're not overpaying for your plan and that it isn't such a hassle to find. Stride Health will not only find you a plan that fits your need and budget perfectly, they'll also find your doctors and pharmacy for you. Say goodbye to the headaches caused by locking in all your healthcare needs. Their intelligent algorithm compares 38 factors and searches thousands of plans to find a customer's single most effective and valuable plan. Their experts are also available year-round to answer your questions and fight your battles. November 1st is the cutoff to pick your new insurance health plan. Make sure it's the best plan for you with Stride Health. Join now at stridehealth.com/hack. You'll get access to their on-call care team who has your back when you need it most. Joining Stride is free, takes 2 minutes, and it's built just for you. Again, join today at stridehealth.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, 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 very special guest. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent. And I'm so glad that I finally got to sit you down and have this conversation. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I don't know that I would call me a very, very, very special guest, but maybe it's just a special guest.
No, I'm keeping it. It's been too long. I wanted you here, so.
There we go. Roll with it then.
All right, Brian, let's jump into this.
Yep.
Brian, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
This is an easy thing for me to answer, specifically because I run. I'm a runner, long-distance runner. And so there's this thing, and everybody used to ask back in the day, hey, how did you get started? And, you know, what are the things that made you successful? And for me, I always came back to the idea of the wall. What I mean by that, in running, when you run a marathon, you hit a point, mile 17, 18, where you hit the wall, and it's perseverance that you need to push through and get through when times aren't really great. And for me, as an entrepreneur, at least what's brought me to where I'm at now is the fact that there's been a number of cases over the last 8-9 years, as long as I've been doing this, where I've always hit points where I'm like, I can either check out or I can push forward. And so from that perspective, what I do, not necessarily on a daily basis, because I don't hit daily walls. Once in a while I may, but you know, you get to a season where you're in a funk and you just really have to push through it. You have to believe in what got you there and you have to go ahead and try to push forward and do innovative stuff and take risks and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I love it. Is there So there's a definite wall at mile 17, 18 in running. Is there sort of a definite sort of wall you think that you hit in like each project that you want to start? Or do they vary greatly?
You know, it really depends on kind of where I'm personally at. I'll go through seasons where I'm in kind of the creative thing, where I feel the mojo and I really can just do a bunch of great stuff, at least in my own eyes, not necessarily in the eyes of others, but, you know, where I'll do stuff that I'm really proud of and I'll just, you know, one after another and, you know, day after day, I'll be, man, I'm killing it. And then there's other seasons. And I think all creatives really get to this point at least once every couple of weeks. But I mean, you get to a point where you're like, I got nothing. You know, you're tapped out. You have nothing. You can't give anything. You can't think. You're, you know, and I think at that point, you've got two options. Either you continue to keep, you know, pounding your head against the wall, or you have to just step away. You have to go outside, take a walk, run, do whatever clears your mind, because a lot of times that's all it really takes. But we're stubborn people, right? We're entrepreneurs. We want to do it ourselves. And so it's really hard to get to a point where you can just let go and say, you know what? The best way to design is to not. And then, you know, come back and reconvene, you know, at a later point.
Yeah. I love the idea of seasons and like seasons within sort of your journey of creation, right? It's true. It's not all just static, like on the way up. It's like, no, there's huge troughs that you fall into. And I think you're right. We do get stubborn and then we try and just push through and really we should step back and let it sort of breathe. So we need to go back now to the beginning of this journey for you, because there seems to be a time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have this calling to make this something big or just make a huge difference in the world, or they find that they simply just can't work for somebody else anymore. Brian, I'd love for you to tell me which side of the fence you feel you fall on, and then when you sort of discovered this about yourself.
You know, I don't know if I necessarily fall on one specific side of the fence, because I enjoyed what I was doing at my day job. And I was capable back then of working for someone else. I actually didn't mind that. It was the work I was actually doing that really kind of became mundane and monotonous. And, you know, while I was there at my day job, I was a project manager at an architectural firm. It was a small company. We got along great. I mean, everything about it was just really, really good, except I was just bored. I was very competent with what I was doing. I was self-teaching myself a lot of stuff about the computers because I was the young guy there in the office. And so I became the go-to, you know, tech guy, whether it be Microsoft Office or this or that. And so it started just kind of just this desire to learn and teach myself computer stuff, quote unquote, just as a way to maybe advance myself within the company. And while I was doing that, I began to blog because I love to write. And so I started, you know, dabbling around with WordPress. And so kind of from time to time, I would tinker around and do things. And I figured, okay, well, this might be an opportunity to do something maybe on the side as a freelancer. And so I would do little projects here and there and make a few $100. And, you know, at that time, it was just really vacation money, right? It was just going home and saying, hey, I made $300 today, or, you know, just, you know, those types of things. And the whole story behind really what became the first company that I founded, which was Studio Press. And this is the case, we just talked about this before we started recording, is the idea of the accidental entrepreneur, where you kind of back into something rather than set out necessarily to find something. And so for me, it was just a freelance project that I was doing, and it was a design that was rejected by a real estate guy. And I thought it was just really great stuff, but it was more than what he needed. And that was the, you know, what became the first premium WordPress theme, because then I said to myself, well, I've got this thing that I think is great, and maybe I've got a bit of an audience, those who've been following me on the blog, and what, you know, and so I reached out to my blog followers and said, hey, would anybody buy this? And when I got an overwhelming response, it was that day. I remember that day very specifically. I got 150 comments from people saying, yes, I would buy that. And, you know, I didn't take business or management or anything like that in college. And so I kind of was, it felt foreign to me to say, you know, I didn't realize it was an opportunity until later on that day when someone said they would spend $150 on it. And I said to myself, now I have the chance to start something.
Wow. And I mean, looking, I love the story of the accidental entrepreneur, because I've said this so many times, is the fact that our story oftentimes doesn't make sense looking forward, right? But when we look back on it, it's like, oh, that decision and that decision and that decision led me here. But you never could have planned that out. It's just not how life works. But you sold the first premium WordPress theme. Was there, like, now it's just commonplace. It's, I don't even know how large of a business it is across the world. It's massive. But it's, WordPress is free, like, for people who don't understand WordPress. And it's like an open source community. It's very much like that. How, what was going through your head being like, should I give this away or should I sell it?
You know, I had given, prior to that point, I had built a little bit of my audience by way of giving away free themes, very simple, basic blog themes. And the one that I had done for the real estate guy was a little bit more of like a more of a business website type of thing. And so I knew that there was a difference between what I was doing for free and, you know, what I had done. And so, you know, honestly, I was like, okay, well, let's just put up a little site and start selling these and just see what happens. I had no idea, you know, we would be 9 years later talking about, you know, something that probably sold eight figures worth of revenue. You know, back then I was just like, hey, I'll just make a few more $100 and see what happens. And, you know, the story of the accidental entrepreneur goes, for me, month one, $10,000 in sales, month two, 20, 40, and 80. And so 4 months into my journey, I was doing $80,000 a month in sales. And I knew at that point that I had something special and I needed to do something with it.
Wow. But there must have been something that, because I, like, Brian, you seem to me like you should be Canadian because you're so humble. And now after like massive success, you are still so humble. So before any of this started and you were giving away free themes and now you had this one that you'd put more work into and definitely had value and should be sold, but you must have had a doubt. You must, there must have been at least one doubt, like, really, how am I going to do, how am I going to collect the money? Or why is somebody going to pay me? How am I going to do support? Like, I can't imagine that you got way more humble now than you did before then.
No, there were doubts there was a doubt when I pushed the publish button on the post. There were doubts when people were even saying that they would do it, that I would go and build it and then it would still not happen, you know? And so after, you know, when you do $80,000 a month in sales, that's a lot of transactions. That's a lot of people using your stuff with a lot of people in questions. And so, yes, there was definitely a time where I was working a 40-hour week and our son was very young at the time. And so trying to parent and sleep on top of that, starting to deal with, you know, what became quite a significant piece of this, which is the support side and getting emails at all hours of the day and trying to answer support questions while I'm at my day job. And I realized it was getting to a breaking point where I was going to break, I was going to get fired, the company would never start off. And so I had a conversation with my wife and I said, you know, I think we're financially irresponsible if we don't pursue this. You know, it was to a point where, you know, I was making more per month than I was making per year. And I said, hey, even if this rides out for 6 months, you know, I just saved us 10 years of me working at my day job. So, you know, and the thing was, she wanted to go and be the stay-at-home mom, right? Because our son was like one or two at the time. And so it was kind of a hard conversation to say, I need to quit first rather than you, because she had her own job. But, you know, the company just grew so quickly that she was able to leave a few months later, and it really has worked out. And there's been a lot of, you know, I don't want to paint a picture of it's been all roses since then. I mean, I've gone through a number of things like sites going down and hosting crashing and being served cease and desist letters because of the brand name I was using. I've learned a lot, some the hard way, some the easy way, you know, over the last 9 years. And so there's been a ton of doubt. And, you know, taking StudioPress and merging it into a bigger company where I was letting go of, you know, full ownership of what I had, there was doubt there. There's been doubt since. And, you know, I definitely want to, you know, encourage anybody who thinks they want to become an entrepreneur, don't be naive and think there will never be doubt, because there always will be.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I don't actually totally fully know the story, but I love it. I mean, $80,000 a month, like making as much money in a month as you were in a year. But I could imagine that, because it happened so quick, that wasn't just like you, like, oh my God, this is amazing. You're probably like freaking out, because like you're saying, there's support all hours, like something that you thought was just a side gig kind of fun. Now it's a massive business very quickly, right? And how do you deal with this? It's got to be hard. And then you're right. Then you like met with Copyblogger and then merged with them. And then all of a sudden you'd created this massive thing and then you gave up full control of it. It's got to be a difficult thing, but also probably a relief in a way. And it obviously turned out well.
Yeah. You know, when we merged, when I merged Studio Press into Copyblogger, there was a ton of relief because with that came a degree of security. And at that point, you know, having run Studio Press for 4 or 5 years and, you know, trying to take it to the next level and all that stuff, there came a huge amount of security with coming out alongside, you know, Brian and everyone at Copyblogger and just being able to offload support and offload the things that I hated to do because I was only designing 10% of the time and then supporting 30 or 40%, doing email correspondence, trying to market, which I had no idea what I was doing. And so I was only in my sweet spot 10% of the time. So as well as we were doing, you know, there was still a part of me that was like, man, I hate most of this. I love it because it's making a lot of money, but I want to spend more time in the creation process, the design elements of all of it, because that's really, you know, what I wanted to do. And when Brian came in and talked about merging and all that, you know, I kind of looked into the future. And again, right before we recorded, you and I were talking about just what I'm doing now. And I spend so much of my time now in design. I don't deal with things I'm not good at. I don't deal with things I don't enjoy. And so like right now, I'm like, I look back and say, man, it's been a long haul. Much the same when you know, go to Summit Mount Everest, there's a lot of preparation, there's a lot of training, there's a lot of work. But when you're at the summit and when you're enjoying the part of what you set out to go do, like that's where it's at.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very, very well said. And it seems like we've almost painted this really maybe too rosy of a picture because you've mentioned that a couple times. And now you say how you don't deal well with things that you're not good at. Could you tell us something, Brian, that within your business that you are absolutely not good at?
So I'm not good, and some would disagree because I was able to build Studio Press, but a lot of the business and the marketing side of, you know, creative stuff, I'm like, I would just love to create and hand it off and make someone else do the rest, right? And so honest to God, it amazes me that Studio Press did as well as it did because of my lack of knowledge in those fields, my lack of, you know, real passion in those fields. I guess I got lucky because I was in the right place at the right time and there was no alternative that, you know, and as Studio Press grew, yes, there became some competitors. And that's when I started to kind of have more doubt where I was like, man, these guys know what they're doing when it comes to business and marketing and stuff like that. And that's why when Brian came alongside, I said, hey, this is great because I got the marketing guy now on my team. I don't have to deal with that. And with that came a huge, you know, amount of relief. And so, you know, from a creative side and type B kind of stuff, like that's me. Type A, admin, business, marketing, legal stuff, totally. And that's a lot of what people have to deal with as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, no, that's totally a lot of stuff. And I mean, once Brian Clark came along, then I mean, yeah, you guys were a force to be reckoned with at that point.
Yep.
But I love it because I've only heard the story from his side when I got to interview him. And it was the same how he was involved in like WordPress themes, but then got out of it. It's like, I'm never dealing with that again. And then all of a sudden somebody told him about you. And he was like, okay, maybe I could be interested again.
You know, you've seen the movie Vantage Point, right? I think it's not Kevin Costner, but it's the movie about the assassination of some political figure. And the whole movie is, it shows like 10-minute snippets all from different vantage points of people who were involved or there. And that would be an interesting thing to have like a vantage point interview of the Copyblogger merge from each of the five partners.
Yeah.
Like, what was your perspective, Brian or Tony or Sonia or Sean or whoever? I would be interested to hear that.
Yeah, that's cool. And that's actually something I've thought of. That's why you're the second of the partners, but I have requests out for all of them eventually. Eventually, I'm going to try and get as much as I can.
There you go.
And it's so interesting to hear just because you guys come from all different places and then end up together and work so well.
Yep.
It's really, really cool. So let's move to work now and how you work today, sort of. I would just like to know, you seem like from the outside, like a habitual person, as in running and like just the way you like to set up your lifestyle to kind of be what you want it, not just being dictated by this business that you now run. But I would love to know what your, today's a work day, it's a Thursday. I'd love to know what, say, the first 30 minutes of a work day sort of looks like to you, that you set yourself up to kind of get into the mindset of the things you need to get done.
All right. So we mentioned earlier, I'm a runner. So the first 44 minutes of my work day was running.
44?
And then, yeah, I'm running a training program where I have to do very specific things. So yes, 44 minutes is what I ran this morning. But one thing I've come to realize is that a lot of times when I'm doing other things, I'm still totally working. And as a creative, it makes it very easy to do certain things intellectually while you're doing other things. I remember last year I was going down a toboggan hill head first and I was thinking about fonts. And so as a creative, it's easy to be able to do things like think while you're running. Like I can spend 45 minutes running and that does great things for my body. But while I'm running, I'm thinking about the next design. I'm thinking about things I've seen on the internet and elements I want to take shape. So in a weird way, it's actually still kind of working. But what I'll do then is, you know, I go shower and then I sit down and then I'll just kind of try to blow through social media because the more intentional I am with social media, the less it happens to linger throughout the day with me. So I'm like, let me just catch up, close down, and then just kind of pop open the canvas and just see what happens.
Nice. Have you had issues with social media where you get frustrated with it?
I don't get frustrated at social media. I just get frustrated at how much I let social media impact me, affect my day, you know, even as a person and going back to self-doubt and all of these things. I'll tweet something, I don't get a reply, and so I internalize that. And it is one of those things that I wish. I remember the movie The Rock. I don't know if you remember that with Sean Connery. And who else was in that? Ed Harris. And yeah. Anyway, there's a point, Nicolas Cage, there's a point in there where they're talking about this thermite plasma where they wish they could de-invent it because they're trying to figure out like how deadly is it. And I remember Nicolas Cage says, it's one of those things that we wish we could de-invent. And so I think of that all the time when I think of social media, because social media to me is one of those things where I like it, but sometimes I just wish I could just blow it up because, you know, it's so distracting. I mean, I understand it helps, you know, push businesses and helps communicate and build audiences and things like that. But it really is one of those things that you have to be careful how you use it because it could be good, but it could also be bad. And so it's a balance. You know, some days it does good things for me. Some days it does bad things for me. And so I need to recognize, you know, when it's heading in the wrong direction, close it down and just go create.
Excellent. Excellent. And yeah, social media can be, it's amazing. It is amazingly powerful. And it's hard to walk away when it's still there, right? So the only way would be if it could blow it up to get rid of it for everyone.
Yep, exactly.
All right, okay, let's move to projects. So projects is a very loose term. You can take this how you want to, either personally new projects you want to take on or within, say, Studio Press, or even, I mean, Rainmaker Digital / Copyblogger as a whole. I'd love to know. You must have opportunities. I've seen you start new blogs. I've seen you start new things. Obviously, Rainmaker itself has come out the platform. I would like to know how you decide personally what is something that you should now put your time, energy, and resources into and that it's worth it.
So the best way to answer that question for me is really, it really kind of comes down to, is this something that will benefit the company? I have to make sure I enjoy whatever that might be. And so, you know, whether it's a new line of Studio Press themes or, you know, whether it's some other degree, I mean, for the most part, I oversee the design of all of what we do within Rainmaker Digital that handles internal design, that handles, you know, external things like VIP sites for people, as well as, you know, Studio Press themes and all that kind of stuff. And so for me, now that we've been able to grow, and I think we're up to like 50 or something like that employees, and we've got some people who over the last couple of years have really, you know, risen up and have pretty much taken over, at least where I'm at in terms of running Studio Press, I've been able to kind of incrementally pull myself and extract myself kind of to a higher level of creation and project management where it's not so much I'm thinking about what we should do and then I go do it. It would be thinking about what we should do, what would benefit the company, and then enlisting those who are qualified, sometimes much better than I am, to go ahead and do that.
Man, that must be a good shift, a good feeling to have that now behind you.
It is, but much like when we formed the company, there's letting go, right? Where, you know, I have to let go of the theme creation process that goes into a brand that I created and have to entrust that to the right people, which 9 times out of 10 is the better way to go than for me to try to do it myself. Although, because I love to create and I love to design, I won't be naive enough to say that I don't, and I still make sure I do this, you know, I'll create a theme, I'll design a theme. It's time for me to get in the trenches and design something that goes out so that I can still feel like I'm a part of it.
Yeah, and is there more pressure if, so I love the idea of thinking of a project, is this going to help the business? Is it going to further it in some way? But it seems like maybe there'd be less pressure if you think that and then be like, well, I'm not sure, but I'm doing all the work myself, so it doesn't matter. I can just put the effort, I can work at night or whenever and just get it done. But now it's like when you're going to enlist it to a team and put it down to a team, it's kind of like, well, it's going to take up their time and energy and Does it make it harder to decide if that project will in fact benefit the business?
I don't think it makes it harder to decide whether. I think by the time I get to the point where I kind of send out the orders, I know it's something that will, because it's gone through kind of an internal, you know, thought process, a filtering system in my head. And I've, you know, maybe bounced the ideas. Tony Clark, one of our partners, I bounce a ton of ideas off of him. Many are good, many are bad. And so when we get to the good ones and we realize here's an opportunity, usually by the time I send out that project to say, hey, let's start this, there's a pretty good degree of non-risk in that. Now, sometimes, you know, there'll be times where I'll identify something, I'll design it, I'll set it out there, and it maybe isn't as successful as the next project or the next theme. And there's then back to the doubt thing, right? Where, well, hey, did I screw up? Am I good enough? And, you know, some of that stuff takes place, you know, but in terms of enlisting that to other people, you know, I feel confident that our team, as I said before, sometimes much better than I can. And it's been proven that that's been the case. You know, I feel really good about that.
I love it. And I love the fact of just, I mean, enlisting your partners with these ideas and like bouncing them off, because then it's not just you, right? I mean, that's to me the greatest benefit of having partners, is it's not just you in your own head. Like, is this good or am I just completely wrong? So that's awesome. All right, Brian, this has been a lot of fun. I want to wrap up on one final question for you.
Sure.
This idea I'm calling the entrepreneurial gap. So it's kind of this gap that I feel sometimes we live in as entrepreneurs, as creatives and dreamers, right? We're always sort of looking into the future and we're always setting goals of we'll be successful, we'll be happy, our businesses will be better 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years down the road. When I do this, when my business hits this mark, I'll then be successful. I'll then be successful. But before we ever get there, we set new, bigger, loftier goals into the future. And so we get sort of stuck in this place where we're never quite there. So I would love right now, Brian, if you could stop, turn around, look at everything you've done coming from working at an architectural firm all the way till now as a founder, founding partner of Copyblogger Media or Rainmaker Digital, and just tell me how you feel about everything you've accomplished up till this moment?
That's a really great and profound question from a number of different angles. You know, as I turn 40 and, you know, kind of stepping aside for a second to kind of explain this, you know, when you turn 40, you get to a point where you realize, hey, I'm mortal, I'm starting to go on the backside. And so you start to think of things like legacies and, you know, that kind of thing, just kind of within your family, within, you know, what you've done for work and stuff like that. And so that type of thing has sort of been kind of coming through me as well. You know, so it's interesting that you asked the question, because basically you're saying, hey, looking back, you know, would you be proud with your legacy, is really kind of what you might be asking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think I've done everything right. But what I do know is that I've tried my best. I've tried to do it authentically, which is really for me, like one of the biggest things in life I believe in is authenticity and just being real. And so, you know, I've tried to share the mistakes, to help others learn and all of that. And so from that perspective, you know, as much as money is great and it's great to buy things, you know, there is always the grass is always greener syndrome. And so, you know, when is enough is enough. So from a financial standpoint, that is never my litmus test. That's never what I kind of use to determine whether or not I'm really successful. It's really more a matter of, you know, what have I empowered others to do? And, you know, how have they been able to benefit from stuff I've done? And just looking back, have I been able to just, you know, do it with a good heart, a good spirit, with, you know, truth and, you know, a genuine, you know, just love of the game. And at that point, you know, I feel really good with what I've done. I think there's a lot of things we can do going forward, a lot of things I can do to contribute, you know, to the ongoing success of Rainmaker Digital. So, you know, I'm still of the camp that I hope our road ahead is a lot longer than the road behind.
Yeah, beautiful answer, beautiful answer. And of course, we have to look forward and push forward, but just at some point we do have to stop. And I'm glad you did. So Brian, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for joining me. Would we be able to, before we leave, if you could just specifically tell the listener where they could go find out more about Brian Gardner?
If you want to find out more about Brian Gardner, you can go to a number of places. You can follow me at Twitter, at B Gardner, G-A-R-D-N-E-R. You can also find me at briangardner.com. I have a kind of a side pet project called No Sidebar, which talks about minimalism, simple living, and just finding happiness. And, you know, Instagram.com/B Gardner, all the common places. So
excellent. Excellent. I will link to the social media and to briangardner.com and nosidebar.com in the show notes so that they're easy for you to find. I'm also going to link to Vantage Point, the movie, if I can find it, so people can go track that down. So, Brian, once again, please just thank you so much for joining me today. And just please keep doing what you're doing because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thanks, John.
Well, Brian, you absolutely did not let down any of my expectations for having you on the show. And I do indeed thank you so much again for joining me because that was a lot of fun. I learned a lot about you, about how you came into business and being an entrepreneur and sort of how you deal with it. And I know that your story is going to help a lot of people out there listening right now. So I thank you. Thank you for that. So, wow. That's Brian Gardner. Every time you install a WordPress theme that you have paid for from now on, think of this man. This is the man that decided at one point that he needs to charge for these. And now it's one of those things that we just take for granted that this is just how things always were. But it wasn't how things always were. It takes someone's crazy brain like Brian's to just be like, no, I think we just need to charge money. And of course, go through all the fears and the doubts about it, but do it anyways. And then create a massive, massive, massive industry. There's so many like multi-million dollar businesses in that industry now that I guess wouldn't be there without Brian. So he probably doesn't want me saying that. He probably doesn't want me, but that's okay because he's one of the humblest guys, but I can toot his horn. Yeah, he nothing he can say about it. All right, so this was a conversation I've wanted to have for a long time. And now going back through it and listening to it, it's always different when I go back through or when I'm actually in the conversation myself. But when I went back through it, there was one thing that Brian said. One thing that Brian said that really, really just, it just stood out to me so clearly. That one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I've learned a lot, some the hard way, some the easy way, you know, over the last 9 years. And so there's been a ton of doubt. And, you know, taking Studio Press and merging it into a bigger company where I was letting go of, you know, full ownership of what I had, there was doubt there. There's been doubt since. And, you know, I definitely want to, you know, encourage anybody who thinks they want to become an entrepreneur, don't be naive and think there will never be doubt because there always will be.
And that's the hack. Brian, Brian, Brian. This is probably the one thing if I could reach this out to you listening, this is probably the one thing that needs to be said more than anything. So funny aside first, I was here actually struggling between two potential hacks to pull out of this conversation. I listened to this one 8 times, I think, and then all I was thinking was, Brian's going to listen to this, and Brian's going to be like, oh, why did you pick that one? Then on the 8th listen myself, I was like, John, you're actually just sitting here doubting yourself. And it made me clue into the fact that, wow, this is the one. This is what needs to be shared because Brian has built an amazing business. Accidentally, or however he wants to explain it, that's not exactly how. I mean, obviously, there's some luck for timing. Obviously, if he was born 20 years ago, he wouldn't be in the WordPress business. But that's kind of irrelevant at this point. And he's built something really, really, really cool. And I think unless you know him, the bit that I do, which I don't know him as well as I would like to, but I know that he still has these doubts. That's where this humbleness comes from. And that's where he doesn't think that he's the greatest like designer or entrepreneur in the world. It's just how it's not in him to think that way. And that he still struggles with this. And the one thing that I would love you to take away from this show, and not even just this episode, but in general, is that we all no matter if you're Brian Gardner and partner of like Rainmaker Digital, or you're me, the person who's talking to you daily through this podcast about business, or anyone else, it's sometimes we look cool on the outside, but, and maybe sometimes we don't look that cool on the outside, but we wish we did, but we struggle with these things. It's a constant battle. It's this whole being comfortable with being uncomfortable. That uncomfortableness is this doubt that's always there. And earlier in the conversation, Brian even said, like, you'll get stuck and you'll hit these walls and you just have to find a way to sort of break that cycle. Like, and it comes, it just does. It's part of this creative journey that we're on, whether you're creating software or you're designing WordPress themes or you're creating a podcast, you are going to hit these walls and these doubts. It's just there. And I know that when you haven't started yet in business, or when you're really looking forward and you feel like you're so far off where you want to be, that you think that other people don't have those same doubts and those same thoughts in their head about the ways that they lack in business. I mean, Brian even made it very clear how he doesn't even have a passion for the business and the marketing, or didn't really, like, he lacked in it, seriously. And it surprises him that he did so well. It can surprise you too, but it won't surprise you until you face those doubts and those fears. And that's why it makes me laugh, because I was having just doubts about picking this hack. And then I realized the hilarity of it. So that's what I want you to get from this. And I appreciate Brian so much for sharing that, because that's absolutely, absolutely, absolutely key to know at whatever stage you're at in your business or your life, that you need to, we need to deal with these doubts. We need to, they're never going to go away, but we have to accept them for what they are. And they're the parts of the journey, right? They're the highs, the lows of life and of business. That's what we have to, we have to learn to just enjoy that, because that is, there's no end thing to it. There's no end game. Like, it's just, this is it. This is part of it. Enjoy it. Take it in and deal with these doubts in any way that you can. All right. That was fun. Thank you so much, Brian. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. I would love to have you on my email list. Go to hacktheentrepreneur.com. Right at the top, you're going to see a place to put your email address in. I have a book coming out December 14th of 2015. You're going to want a copy of it. You're going to have to buy a copy, but it's only going to be like a couple dollars. Come on, it's an Amazon book. Or you can buy the printed version and fill everybody you know's stocking with it this Christmas. I would also love that. But the people who find out first are going to be on my email list. And I would love to have you there. So hacktheentrepreneur.com is the spot. Go do it. You'll get that welcome email. Hit reply to it. It comes straight to my laptop and let's have a conversation. I'd love to talk. Having doubts? Then tell me about them. I'll try and work you through them. It's what I'm here for. It really, really, truly is. All right. It's been fun. As always, you do know, I hope, how much I appreciate you taking the time to spend with me and listen. I really, really, really do appreciate it. I know you have a ton of options out there, and I appreciate you taking this time now with me. So, thank you. Have a great day. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.